my name is Sue Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. This hour we have program, Let's Read the Bible, which will help us learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a devotional program for teenagers called A Lot. Next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. In Romans chapter 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul explains that neither bloodline nor lawful actions leads to salvation. Instead, he explains that salvation is from God's grace, according to his plan. He emphasizes that saved people, whether a Jew or Gentile, should not despise others or feel superior to those who are not saved. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul explains what we have to do instead of comparing ourselves with others. This is what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy. So I am asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping Him in the right way. Saved people should not be concerned about whether or not another person is better than themselves. Instead, they should focus on living a life filled with worship, which is a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. What does God mean when He says that He is pleased with worship that is offered as a holy sacrifice? These days, there are many people who think that worship is some form of praise or listening to sermons. They hold this meaning in phrases such as Sunday service, Wednesday service, and worship service. However, the main point of worship is to obey God's words. Worship is to live a life by following the word of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, there is a great explanation for what worship really is. Don't live the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants from you. And you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. That's right. The life of worship that God takes pleasure in is to turn away from the things of the world, discern what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is, and to live according to His will instead of living according to the world. To everyone who is listening to this, what kind of life are you living? Are you admiring the world that will perish and mimicking others' lives? Through Jesus, God saved us from this perishing world. So now we must live a life that pleases God, and this is the life of worship that we must live. I pray that we will all live a life in this way. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us so that we can understand that the salvation we received was through Your grace. Please also help us so that we can live humbly and proclaim the gospel to others. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Catlin from California will read the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Catlin. I'm 9 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 12 verses 1 through 21. Let's read the Bible. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy. So I am asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you're still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping Him in the right way. Don't live the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. then you will be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. God's grace has been given to me. So here is what I say to every one of you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. Keep in mind the faith God has given to each of you. Each of us has one body with many parts, and the parts do not all have the same purpose. So also we are many persons, but in Christ we are one body, and each part of the body belongs to all the other parts. We all have gifts. They differ according to the grace God has given to each of us. Do you have the gift of prophecy? Then use it according to the faith you have. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Is it encouraging others? Then encourage them. Is it giving to others? Then give freely. Is it being a leader? Then work hard at it. Is it showing mercy? Then do it cheerfully. God, love must be honest and true. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another deeply. Honor others more than yourself. Stay excited about your faith as you serve the Lord. When you hope, be joyful. When you suffer, be patient. When you pray, be faithful. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Welcome others into your homes. Bless those who hurt you. Bless them and do not curse them. Be joyful with those who are joyful. Be sad with those who are sad. Agree with one another. Don't be proud. Be willing to be a friend of people who aren't considered important. Don't think that you are better than others. Don't pay back evil with evil. Be careful to do what everyone thinks is right. If possible, live in peace with everyone. Do that as much as you can. My dear friends, don't try to get even. Leave room for God to show His anger. It is written, "I am the God who judges people. I will pay them back," says the Lord. Do just the opposite. Scripture says, "If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink." By doing those things, you will pile up burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil overcome you. Overcome evil by doing good. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for each and every day. Thank you for all you have done for us. Help us be more and more closer to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Jesus, I have this.
following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here's the first episode.
I'm a Christian. Does that mean I shouldn't grieve? Hey, it's Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening up your heart to God. This is a question that a lot of believers wrestle with. We have this amazing gift from God, and we have the hope of salvation. That means we really can't justify being sad about things, right? Well, I will say that this was a huge burden in my life right after high school. I lost a friend to cancer, and I had a really hard time processing my own grief because I kept telling myself, she was a Christian, I have nothing to be sad about. But is that the right way of thinking? Today's story is called The Last Enemy, and it was written by Candy Zeller. Grief is the way we process when something very bad has happened. Death is the result of sin, and it is so bad that God's word calls it the last enemy. Death is not the way it is supposed to be, and so grief is appropriate when death happens. While we don't know exactly what it will be like after we die, those who know Jesus can have a peace because death is ultimately defeated in Jesus' death and resurrection. Christians will be resurrected like Jesus and spend eternity with him and in reunion with other believers. We will have made new bodies, we won't struggle with sin and all of its bad effects, and we will be able to love and serve God like we never have before. It will be wonderful. So when loved ones who know Jesus die, you will still grieve that loss, but you can grieve with hope. Christians do have an incredible hope, and because of it, we can grieve tragedy differently than the world grieves, but we still grieve. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, "And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." What do you do when you're grieving? What helps you? And what are you most looking forward to about eternity with Jesus? What a great question to meditate on, life with Jesus. Hey, I want to encourage you to read more about this topic. So here are some verses you can check out. Romans 8:11, Romans 8:22 through 23, and 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Unlocked is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
How does being an image bearer of God affect sexuality? Hi, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening up your heart to God. Wow, I am very excited about today's devotion because it's about something that is so important to God, and yet we as Christians don't always do a very good job talking about it. Sex. Today's story is called The Talk, and it was written by Taylor Ising. Christians are notoriously bad at talking about sex. We gloss over it, give incomplete information, and usually end the conversation with, "Sex is bad, don't do it." So, on behalf of Christians everywhere, I want to apologize. Sometimes we struggle with awkward subjects. We make the mistake of believing that sex has nothing to do with the gospel, but God's word says otherwise. The Bible is overwhelmingly clear. Creation is good, and that means sex is good when it is used as it was created in its God-given context of marriage. God created us, male and female, and he did that on purpose. Males in their maleness and females in their femaleness, brought together in the one man, one woman, one lifetime covenant of marriage before God, reflect his image in a unique way that, according to scripture, points to God's relationship with us, his church. You see, sex is a reminder of a covenant that has already been made. It physically acts out the fact that in marriage, spouses have given their whole selves over to that other person, just like Jesus has given his whole self over to us. Sex is an act of loving completely, faithfully, and freely, mirroring the way Jesus loves us completely, faithfully, and freely. Sex says, "I give everything I am to you. I will never leave you or abandon you. I have made a covenant with you, and I will never break that covenant." Has Jesus ever said things like that? Here's the hard part for you, as people who, I assume, are not yet married. We cannot act out a covenant that we have not made, and that covenant must be made publicly before God and the church. If we do, we are lying with our bodies. Sex is a good gift from God, and when we misuse this good gift, it is a sin just like any other sin. But, my friends, there is abounding grace in Jesus. Rest in the one who loves you more than anyone, including a future spouse if that's what he has planned for you, ever could. Okay, let me ask you this question again. How does the fact that we bear God's image affect sexuality? How might it shift the way we approach sin issues like lust or pornography? Let me challenge you with one more big thing. Think of a trusted Christian in your life you can talk to about the questions you have about sex. Maybe the thought of talking to an adult about it makes you feel so uncomfortable. I get it. But to have a Christian in your life who can point you back to the truth of God's word and encourage you to honor God with your body is so valuable. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. Everything God made was good. I encourage you to keep reading about this. Check out Matthew 19:4-6, Ephesians 5:25-33, and Hebrews 13:4-5. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening up the door to God in your life. Unlocked is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries.
And just look at it.
Look at what?
My shoe. It's not doing much, is it?
No, silly.
Why?
Because it's empty.
Right. And your life won't do much either if it's empty. But that is empty of God. But did you know that your body is God's temple? It's where God lives.
Oh.
He wants to live in your heart and fill you with his love. Now, come on, everybody. Help me sing this next song. Sing along with me.
My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple, and Jesus lives within it. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep it tidy, keep it.
Comb your hair.
Ooh la la. Make it sparkle, make it gleam.
Brush your teeth.
My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple, and Jesus lives within it. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep it tidy, keep it clean.
Wash your hands.
La, la, la. Make it sparkle, make it gleam.
Put on cologne.
That smells good.
My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple. Jesus lives within it. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep it tidy, keep it clean.
Comb your hair.
Ooh la la. Make it sparkle, make it gleam.
Brush your teeth.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Ooh la la. Hey, you look great now. You smell good too.
I feel special.
Well, you are special.
Coming up next, children's Bible drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. After Judge Gideon, many judges were getting further away from the Word of God. Even though Jephthah also saved Israel as a judge, he made the mistake of killing many of his fellow Ephraimites. Jephthah led Israel for 6 years as a judge. Then he died. After Jephthah, Ibzan from Bethlehem led Israel. He was not a good judge either. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He sent his daughters to marry men outside the nation, and he brought in 30 young women from outside the nation to marry his sons. Ibzan judged Israel for 7 years. God clearly told Moses that it was forbidden to marry any of other nations' people and to not give any daughters to the Canaanites when they came into this land of Canaan, and to not take the daughters of the Canaanites for your sons. The reason is because God knew that the culture of worshiping the God of Canaan would come into Israel. But Ibzan disobeyed God's word even though God commanded. When the judge, the leader, disobeys God's word, it is also evidence that the disobedience of the people were even greater. The Israelites seemed hopeless. Even though God sets up a judge, it seems that after a while they begin to worship other gods. After Ibzan, the judges disobeyed God's will and were doing things contrary to what God had commanded. The Israelites were turning away from God and began to serve other gods. Once again, the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. But an amazing thing happened. During the 40 years the Israelites were being ruled by the Philistines, they did not cry out to God. They lived under the Philistine rule without complaint. They had no freedom, and yet they did not yearn for freedom. Even though they could not serve God, they did not long to serve God. At that time, a certain man from Zorah was named Manoah. He was from the tribe of Dan. Manoah had a wife who wasn't able to have children. One day, Manoah's wife was alone.
Oh my, it's hard. No matter how hard you work, there's no end to it.
Look here, Manoah's wife.
Who are you?
You are not able to have children, but you are going to become pregnant. You will have a baby boy. Make sure you do not drink any kind of wine. Also, make sure you do not eat anything that is unclean. You will become pregnant. You will have a son. The hair on his head must never be cut. That is because the boy will be a Nazarite. He will be set apart to God from the day he is born. He will take the lead in saving Israel from the power of the Philistines.
Oh, God will give me pregnancy? He must have been sent by God. I'll have to tell my husband soon. Honey! Honey!
Calm down. Why are you so fussy? Did you see any ghosts?
A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. His appearance was so amazing that it filled me with great wonder. I was so afraid. I didn't ask him where he came from. Anyway, he said that I would become pregnant and give birth to a son.
What did you say? You will become pregnant? Was he really a man of God?
Yes, he is. Now I have a son. So do not drink any kind of wine and do not eat anything that is unclean. That is because the boy will be a Nazarite. He will belong to God in a special way from the day he is born until the day he dies.
No way. I'm still not sure what you said. I should pray to God.
Manoah didn't understand what his wife was saying, so he knelt down and looked up at the sky and prayed to God.
Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again. He told us we would have a son. We want the man of God to teach us how to bring up the boy.
God answered Manoah's prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife as she was sitting in the field. At the time, Manoah was not there. It was just his wife working alone.
Manoah's wife!
Gosh! You are here again! Wait a minute! I'll bring my husband!
When Manoah's wife saw the angel of the Lord, she hurriedly ran to get her husband. Can Manoah meet the angel sent by God? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
What a fellowship!
If you really want to impress your mom or dad, help them pick out a new devotional book for your family. The 1-Year Classic Family Devotions from Keys for Kids is fun because it's got puzzles and games, and your parents will like it because it's got great Bible teaching. Ask one of them to go to keysforkids.net and then click Shop to look for the 1-Year Classic Family Devotions. Well, my name is Zach. We'll see you next time on Keys for Kids.
Following is a program, Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
God puts our lives together like a quilt. He uses the good parts and the bad parts to make something beautiful.
I love the quilt my grandma made for me, and I love the life God gave me too. Well, hey there, my name is Zach, and you're tuned into Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. I love getting t-shirts from concerts, 5Ks, well, pretty much anywhere I can get a free shirt. I gave some of my favorites to my grandma, and she sewed a quilt from them, and I like it because it reminds me of good memories. God can do that with your life too, and He doesn't just use good times, He also uses the bad times. See, God can help you grow in the bad times and use it for something good. So trust Him to shape your life, like it says in Psalm 37:23, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him." Our story today is called Something Beautiful. "This is going to be so pretty," Emily exclaimed as she helped her grandmother work on a quilt. "A wedding gift for Emily's cousin. Madison will love this." Grandma smiled. "Each square is cut from one of her old shirts or dresses," she said. "I plan to make this kind of quilt for all you kids." She stood up. "Come here. I want to show you something." She led Emily to a storage closet and opened a box half full of cloth squares. Emily recognized material from some of her favorite clothes that no longer fit, and she also saw squares made from some not-so-favorite ones. "These are to make a quilt for me?" she asked, and Grandma nodded. Emily was amazed at how Grandma could take such old, useless, outgrown things and make something lovely from them. "Wow," she said. "I didn't even like the outfit some of these pieces came from, but when I see all the squares lying together in the box like that, they look great." She grinned at her grandmother. "You're good, Grandma." Grandma laughed. "You know," she said, as they returned to working on the quilts for Madison, "our lives are something like patchwork quilts. God sees all the pieces of our lives, the good and the bad. He cuts, shapes, and puts the pieces of our lives together to make something beautiful." As Grandma spoke, Emily recalled the week of vacation her family had recently enjoyed. She remembered the fun she'd had at her last birthday party. But she also thought of some of the worst days of her life, the day her grandfather died, the low grade she had gotten in math one day even after studying hard, and the unkind things another girl had said about her at school only a few days before. So, God can take all the pieces of our lives, even the things we think are terrible, and make something good of them? Emily asked. "That's right," Grandma replied. "Jesus is able to make something good from every part of our lives, even the parts we don't like. He uses each of our experiences to help us grow and point others to Him. We can safely trust Him with all of our days." So how about you? What happy days do you recall? And what bad ones happened lately? Maybe you came in last at the track meet, or maybe one of your friends lied about you. Maybe someone you love is sick. Whatever it is, does it seem like no good could possibly come from those difficult times? Trust Jesus to take all of your days, the good and the bad, and use them all to make your life a beautiful testimony for Him. Our key verse is Psalm 37:23.
"The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him."
And our key thought, trust God to shape your life. You know, with Christmas coming up, you might be thinking about all the presents that you want. But don't be so focused on what you don't have that you forget the good things you already have. Right now, it's Keys for Kids Radio's Thanksgiving Week. Check it out today at keysforkids.net. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
Find a penny, pick it up, the rest of the day you'll have good luck. How can anyone not believe in luck?
You can believe that God is in control, not luck. Welcome to a brand new week of stories and scripture right here on Keys for Kids. I'm Zach. Some people believe in luck, like if you walk under a ladder, something bad might happen, or if you find a four-leaved clover, something good could happen. But there's no such thing as luck. God watches over everyone and everything. He cares about you so much that the Bible says He has counted every hair on your head. That's why it's so much better to put your trust in God and not in silly, superstitious beliefs. Just listen to Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts. Let's listen to our story today. It's called Good Luck Penny. As Devin and Jake walked home from school, Devin spied a penny on the sidewalk. "Mine," he declared, picking it up. "You can't buy much with a penny, but at least now I won't have bad luck today." Jake frowned. "What do pennies have to do with luck?" he asked. "Haven't you heard the rhyme about pennies?" asked Devin. "You know, find a penny, pick it up. All day long, you'll have good luck." Devin grinned at Jake. "Now, aren't you sorry you didn't see it first?" "Not really," Jake replied. "I don't believe in luck." "What?" Devin stared at his friend. "How can you not believe in luck?" Jake shrugged. "I believe God controls what happens in our lives." "God?" Devin shook his head. "Maybe He controls big things like wars and earthquakes and floods, stuff like that. But I'm sure He can't be bothered with all the details in the lives of billions of people, especially not kids like us." "Sure He can. He's watching over everything," insisted Jake. "He even cares about little birds." "Really?" Devin asked. "Where did you hear that?" "The Bible. It says God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, and He knows exactly how many hairs everybody has on their heads." Jake looked at Devin. "People are much more important to God than sparrows. He sent Jesus, His Son, to die for our sins, and He promises to do what's best for us even when bad things happen. That's why I don't believe in luck, because I trust Jesus to take care of me. He cares about every detail of our lives." "Where'd you learn all this Bible stuff?" asked Devin. "From my parents," Jake answered, "and in church. Have you ever been to church?" Devin shook his head. "Well, you can come with me sometime if you want to. We sing songs, hear Bible stories, and learn more about God." "Well, okay," said Devin as they reached his house. "I think Mom will let me." He looked at the penny. "If what you say is right, I guess I won't need this," he grinned. "But my grandpa always says that saved pennies turn into dollars, so I'll just keep it anyway." So how about you? Do you think luck controls your life, or do you trust God to take care of you? God made the earth and everything in it, including you. He sees and controls all things, big and small. He cares about small creatures like sparrows, and He cares about you even more. Jesus died and rose again to save you, and He promises to always take care of you. Thank Him for His loving care and trust Him with every detail of your life. Our key verse is Matthew 10:31.
"So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows."
And our key thought, God cares about you. I'm Zach. Thanks for tuning in to Keys for Kids.
Here's Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
The other kids were so mean to Imani. They made fun of how she looked and called her really bad names.
Racism is a sin, and as Christians, we should stand against it. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids, and I hope that you are doing well. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Zach. Have you ever been treated differently just because of the way you look? Maybe your skin color is different than other kids, or maybe you come from a different cultural background. Treating other people badly just because they look different is a sin. It's important to remember that all people are valuable because they're made in God's image. So don't mistreat people that are different than you, and make sure to stand up for anyone who's being made fun of. It's like the Old Testament prophet Amos said, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Well, let's listen to our story today. It's entitled, Racism Hurts. Charlotte was upset when she got home from school. "Some kids were being mean to Imani today, and I don't know what to do," she told her mom. "I'm sorry to hear that," said Mom. "I know you two are close. What were the kids saying?" "Well, first they were making fun of her hair, saying it was really poofy. But then they started calling her names and teasing her about how she looked. She started crying, and so did I, because they were just being so mean." "That's horrible," Mom frowned. "Do you want me to email your teacher?" Charlotte nodded and started to tear up. Then Imani ran off to the bathroom. I followed her and gave her a hug and said I was there, but I don't know what else I can say. Charlotte sat down at the table, letting her backpack fall to the floor with a thump. "That's hard," said Mom. "But if you want to say something, first you can remind Imani that she is just as much created in the image of God as anyone, and that he loves her and made her exactly how he wants her to be. Then maybe you can remind her that Jesus died to reconcile wrongs and is always with her, and that when he returns, he will right every wrong and provide justice to those who faced injustice, like Imani." "Those sound good. I wish I had thought of them before," said Charlotte. "Actually, I think what you did was good too," Mom said. "Sometimes our friends just need us to listen and be there for them. Today you came home and wanted advice, but remember last week when you got your science quiz back? You were upset about your grade, and all I did that day was listen." "And I felt better after I talked about it," Charlotte realized. Mom nodded. Imani might feel the same way. She might want to talk about getting teased, or she might not. But it's important to understand that sometimes our friends face problems we'll never experience. When that happens, we can be willing to listen and be there for our friends, even if we don't always have the right words. Charlotte nodded again. "Listening? I can do that." So what about you? Has a friend of yours been treated badly because of their skin color or cultural background? Maybe you've experienced that yourself. It's sad that the sin of racism exists, but we have hope that Jesus will bring justice. He took the punishment for all our sins, and one day he will right every wrong and restore our world. In the meantime, how can you fight racism and show God's love to those that it has hurt? Our key verse is Amos 5:24.
"But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream."
And our key thought, Jesus will bring justice. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Our antivirus program wasn't good enough. Our computer got a virus and it destroyed my book report.
Your computer needs protection against harmful stuff, and so does your heart. Did you know that your mind is kind of like a computer? Well, that's what we're talking about today on Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Not everyone on the internet is friendly. Some people want to hurt your computer or other devices with harmful programs called viruses. One of the best ways to protect your computer is with a good antivirus program, which blocks those viruses. Memorizing the Bible is kind of like an antivirus program for your mind. When you know verses by heart, the Holy Spirit can use them to help keep you from sinning when you're tempted. In Psalm 119, King David wrote this, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Our story today, it's called The Antivirus Program. As Alexander began his report for school, lines of gibberish flashed across the monitor. "Will," he called, seeing that he needed help from his older brother, "the computer's acting weird." Will came into the room and typed some commands into the computer. After a moment, he turned to Alexander. "Can you use Josh's computer? I think this one has a virus." Will frowned. "Maybe we need to get a different antivirus program." "What's an antivirus program?" Alexander asked. "It's a program to keep the computer from downloading destructive stuff in email or from the internet," Will replied. "Well, Josh's mom will probably let me do my report there," said Alexander. So he went to check with his friend who lived down the street. "Sure, help yourself," said Josh's mom when Alexander asked if he could use their computer. The boys went to the den where the computer was. "That's not homework, is it?" Alexander asked as he watched Josh clear his Bible and several papers off the desk so Alexander could use the computer. "No, just some Bible verses I'm trying to memorize," said Josh. "I print them on cards and put them where I can see them during the day." "Why do you bother to learn all those verses?" asked Alexander. "Can't you just read them in the Bible?" "Well, I have to learn some for the club I'm in at church," said Josh. "But there's also a verse that tells us to hide God's word in our hearts so we won't sin. So I want to do it for that reason, too. Then if I hear things that go against what the Bible says, I'll know how to listen to God and do what he says instead." "Kind of like your own personal antivirus program that keeps your brain from downloading bad stuff?" asked Alexander with a grin. "That's it," said Josh. "And you know firsthand how important an antivirus program can be. One of my favorite verses says, 'Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.' It means we need to live with the truth of Jesus in our hearts instead of listening to the world's lies. And memorizing verses helps me do that." So, does your brain need some antivirus protection? How many times a day are you exposed to ungodly speech and ideas? How often are you tempted to say or do something wrong? To protect ourselves from the lies of this world, we need the truth of God's word. The Bible reminds us who we are in Jesus and guides us in living out his truth and love. So how about downloading some Bible verses into your mind and life today? Our key verse is Psalm 119, verse 11.
"Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you."
And our key thought, memorize Bible verses. I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I like seeing the candles that Mom put in the windows. It reminds me of the light Jesus brought to the world.
That's right, and you don't have to wait for Christmas time to remember that. I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to listener-supported Keys for Kids. One reason for putting candles in your windows around the holidays may have been for travelers caught out on a winter night. They would see the candles in a friendly house and know they had a place to stay warm and get fed. The candles remind me of something else, though. They remind me of John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Our story today, a light to the world. "You'll never capture me," Ava yelled to her friend Jack. They were in Ava's backyard pretending to be medieval knights. "On my noble steed, you'll never outlast me," cried a galloping Jack. As Jack caught up to Ava, they both drew foam swords and shields. "On my honor as a knight, you'll never get your hands on the king's treasure." Ava stood with her hands square on her hips, proudly showing off her knight's tunic over her pink leggings. The door to Ava's house opened. "Ava, it's time to come in," Mom called. Ava lowered her sword and shield. "This was fun," she said. "Yeah, let's meet here again tomorrow to play some more," Jack said, shivering. We don't have too much time before it'll be too cold to play outside. When Ava entered her house, the warm smells of oregano and garlic bread greeted her. She had forgotten Dad said it was spaghetti night. Ava found her mom sorting through a box of candles. "What are you doing?" Ava asked. "Putting a candle in each window of our home," said Mom. "Candles are often used during Advent to help prepare our hearts for Christmas. I thought it would be a good tradition to start." "To prepare for the presents we're gonna get?" Ava asked with a grin. "No, goofball. To prepare for the gift of Jesus," Dad said, giving Ava a silly eye roll from where he stood stirring the tomato sauce. "Let me put it another way. I know you love history, so I'll tell you how people think the custom of candles in windows at Christmas time may have started. In the Middle Ages, the light of a single large candle was used to represent the Star of Bethlehem, which is what led the wise men to seek and find Jesus. Shining out from a window at the coldest time of the year, it reminded people to seek the King who came to earth as a baby so we could have his warmth and light in our lives. And that's not something we remember only at Christmas," Mom said, holding out a candle for Ava to put in the window. "Jesus became human and sacrificed himself so we could be saved. And that's something to celebrate all year long." So how about you? How does your family prepare for Christmas? Do you put up a tree, string lights up outside? Those are great things to do, but you can also prepare by thanking Jesus for the sacrifice he made when he came to earth as a baby so he could one day die for our sins. When the world was dark and cold, he came and shined his light on us. So how can you share his warmth with others this Christmas and every other time of the year? Our key verse is John 8:12.
"Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'"
And our key thought today, Jesus is the light of the world. I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids.
Now is the time.
Did you have fun listening to our program today? I hope that you read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings. Pray to Jesus and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye-bye.